Window World, the official windows of the Kansas City Chiefs, presents Kevin Keatsman Has Issues, online at windowskansascity.com.
Oh my, well, there's certainly no guarantees in any of this thing. It appears that the federal government has absolutely nothing on Donald John Trump. I have been hesitant all week. I hope I didn't let you down. The silence was deafening. Trump is a counterpuncher, and I was waiting for him to fight back. He had surrogates out there. He had his daughter-in-law, his son, and a couple of lawyers out there saying some things. And he made some comments about Obama and things like that, but never really commented about his particular situation and the documents that were taken from Mar-a-Lago. And now he has punched back in a big way. Merrick Garland, the attorney general, gave a less than 5-minute reading of a statement yesterday. We're going to get into that, okay? Not what was said. This parsing of the words of what Merrick Garland said is a waste of time. He said nothing, okay? I'm going to get into some body language, some confidence issues, and what it's like to speak in front of a camera and in front of people, because I've been doing it for decades. And I saw more in Merrick Garland yesterday than anybody you've heard in the media, okay? So stay with me on that. But Trump has counterpunched since then, late on Thursday night, releasing a statement on Truth Social about a Washington Post story that what was, of course, this all came out. What was it? I'm beginning to think Trump set a trap, that's what he did. He let the Washington Post write a story that there were documents pertaining to nuclear war, nuclear codes, nuclear weapons, all this other stuff. And you're like, wow, did Trump really screw up? You know, you're starting to think that. Everybody's starting to think that. And then he releases this statement. Trump puts this out on Truth Social. Nuclear weapons issue is a hoax, just like Russia was a hoax. Two impeachments were a hoax. The Mueller investigation was a hoax, and much more. Same sleazy people involved. Why wouldn't the FBI allow the inspection of areas at Mar-a-Lago with our lawyers or others present? Made them all wait outside in the heat, wouldn't let them even go close. Not only will I not oppose the release of documents related to the un-American, unwarranted, and unnecessary raid and break-in of my home in Palm Beach, Florida, Mar-a-Lago, I'm going a step further by encouraging the immediate release of all these documents, the statement reads. Trump continued by saying, these documents were drawn up by radical left Democrats and possible future political opponents who have a strong and powerful vested interest in attacking me, much as they have done for the last 6 years. Okay, that's as confident as it gets with Trump. He's trying to build Truth Social. So he's not doing interviews. He wants everybody to know, hey, he posted this on Truth Social. He's got a business he's building. It all makes sense. And that's as strong a rebuke to all of this as you can possibly have. And I've been waiting all week for that. Really. I mean, he's basically said, there's nothing nuclear in there. This is the same as the Russia hoax. We're going to find out that it's a whole bunch of low-level stuff if they find anything. It's interesting. There's a Harvard professor who was interviewed by a conservative website and was asked, you know, did Trump do anything wrong? And this Harvard professor, who I guess leans right, says most Americans that are professionals in some professional capacity, working in business or whatever it may be, in a professional, this is white collar. Most white collar Americans commit 3 felonies a day and don't even know it. He said, we have so many laws and so much going on at the federal level that he thinks most Americans commit 3 felonies a day and don't even know it. Now, that's up for debate. I'm no legal scholar, and I certainly don't know the hundreds of thousands of laws that we have at the federal level. But the point is, they're trying to find something like that on Trump. The swamp creatures know this. They know how many laws there are, and let's go find something that he may have broken. It clearly now was a fishing expedition. There's little doubt about that. Trump has said, hey, release the affidavit, release it all. I don't care. Put it all out there. I got nothing to hide, is basically what Trump is saying now. But you'll notice what he did, looking back at the week behind us, what he did is what he always does. He counterpunches. He waits to be attacked, then he defends himself, and he hits back even harder. And it is not hard to hit back harder on Merrick Garland. What a weasel this guy is. Now, a couple of things. And I've said many times on the podcast, I've only got a few areas of expertise. I feel like I know about a lot of things, But there's only a few things I'm really an expert on, and this is one of them. Walking out to a podium in front of a camera, addressing a crowd, making a statement, doing a news conference, doing interviews, public speaking, all of these things. Most Americans are terrified by all of this. I can never tell. I'm so comfortable behind a microphone broadcasting a radio show or a podcast. It's easy. I'm never nervous. It's so natural and comfortable, you can't even believe it. It's as easy as brushing my teeth. But still to this day, going and emceeing an event with a lot of people, especially something that's new. You know, we recently did the Jackson County Republicans event, and that was new for me because I have not done a lot of political events. So that's new for me. There's always a little nervousness. When people can just sit there at their table or sit at home and watch you on camera, whatever it may be, and stare at you in any way that they want, it's a little unnerving. Now, for me, the camera doesn't bother me. So I would have had no trouble going and reading Merrick Garland's statement in front of the camera. What bothers you is the people in the room, you know, the people that are around you and watching and seeing something take place. This guy comes out and they botched this from the jump. This was a short little statement. I'm going to take it from at 1:30 on Thursday when they said he was going to come out and give a statement. He was, what, 40-some minutes late? That means there was complete confusion and mayhem. I will say backstage, which isn't really the this is the Department of Justice building. So in the offices of the DOJ, they've got mayhem. I've seen this a million times, folks. I know exactly how this works. I had business partners like this. We were going to release a statement. We were going to put something out. We were going to announce something on Wednesday at 3 o'clock on the show. We promoted, hey, big announcement tomorrow, Wednesday, 3 o'clock. And then Wednesday, 3 o'clock comes, there's a rewrite taking place. Oh, we got to change this. We got to change it. Some people are like that. There was complete mayhem at the Department of Justice. There was, over a statement that said nothing. It was a giant nothing burger. So what was going on behind the scenes, I don't know. My guess is, because it's always this way, the higher-ups were stopping it at that point, saying, wait a second, is this enough? That there may have been a discussion, should the FBI director be out there with him? Should other people from the Department of Justice be out there? Should we have some official-looking FBI agents behind him? What do we want to make this news conference look like? Was probably the discussion. I do not believe for a second that Merrick Garland called the president or told people, I'm going to make my own statement today. I do not believe this for a second. He went out there alone. He was a nervous freaking wreck. He bumbled through it, looked awful. He looked like he wanted to be anywhere in the world but right there. He wanted to throw up. He was incredibly nervous. And he's been in front of the camera many times before. This is not like, oh, this is some guy who sits in a cubicle for the federal government, has never been on TV or stood at a podium and given a speech before. He's done nothing but this. He's a freaking judge. He sits on the stand as a judge in a robe and runs the courtroom. This is a guy who commands a room and has for decades. This is not some little mealy-mouthed scaredy cat. This is a very powerful official in the federal government who has been in justice forever and should have had more confidence than anything you can ever imagine. He should have walked out there with the swagger of Tiger Woods. I am the GOAT. Just walk out with your, I'm Tom Brady. I'm the GOAT. Look at me. And he walked out and wanted to pee his pants. It was so embarrassing for him. So that leads me to believe that only one thing could have happened here. He's the fall guy. You're going to go out there and own up to this. We're getting beaten up, battered and bruised. But we're 4 days in. We have 15 boxes. We know we have nothing, or we would have come out and had a news conference with lots of FBI agents. Okay, all kinds of agents. We would have had 15 people at the news conference behind Merrick Garland and Director Ray, and they would have said, we found stuff. We'll be proceeding with this. You know, we're not announcing today exactly what we have or whatever. We've got this and this and this. We found all this information, and we are taking this very seriously. None of that. None of that. I gave the command, is what Garland said. I okayed the raid, the search. I'm sorry, they call it the search. I okayed the raid. It's on me, and that's that. And there's nothing. I mean, absolutely nothing. And then Trump lets it fester for a while. I mean, he could have put his post up on Truth Social right after. He lets it fester until late last night. Now he owns the news cycle today. The other thing that I saw was when they said at 3 o'clock on Friday, they have until 3 o'clock on Friday whether or not we're going to release this warrant. 3 o'clock on Friday is where you bury news. Americans are starting their weekends. They don't pay attention, whatever. The Democrats dragged this all week long. They wanted to bury the news cycle to the end of the week and then just forget about it over the weekend. That's what they wanted to do. Trump went out last night, put a statement out, says, I'm going to own the news cycle on Friday. Release whatever you want. I've done nothing. This is a hoax. It's just like every other hoax. It feels really, really, really good for Donald Trump right now. Again, you don't know. There clearly were 15 boxes of things taken. Could they have found something really minor that they can pop him on and it's a misdemeanor or maybe an indictment or whatever? Maybe. But as every hour goes by, it once again looks like these idiots on the left have just completely failed at trying to bring down Donald Trump. There is no question that's where it stands on this Friday. It looks like a complete failure, complete incompetence, a complete overreach when they could have done this through negotiation or the lawyers or whatever may be the case if they wanted the documents. And it is feeling more and more to me like Donald Trump just brought them like a spider weaves a web. He built a web called Mar-a-Lago and just said, come on into my web. I dare you to come in here. And they did. And these idiots actually thought, this is how dumb they are at, when we say, and Washington, D.C. is 90% Democrat. Okay, the whole swamp there, 90% of all people that work in Washington, D.C. are Democrat. Biden got 91% of the vote in the District of Columbia. Okay, this is a Democrat-run town. Everybody that works there is a leftist. They're all big government people. All right? So when we say those people are detached from reality and what America really is, it's true. And there's so many ways that you can see this. They continue to think, because they run everything in their little bubble, they think we'll just go out and exercise our bubble everywhere else, and people, that's who and what we are, and people understand it, and that's that. They are so incompetent because they have it so good where they live. They have such complete and utter control and power over everything in their lives. They think they know everything. It is remarkable how little they know about Donald Trump and about going after Donald Trump. They have no clue how to go after Donald Trump. If you want to go after Trump, you should do it very, very quietly. You should not let anybody know what you're doing. You should do it in the cover of night. You shouldn't leak anything. You shouldn't do any of that. The FBI is the largest leaking organization in America. They do it for a reason. I was the beneficiary of this many, many years ago. I had an FBI agent in Kansas City that contacted me and said, hey, there's some Chiefs players dealing drugs in the locker room. It's Tamarck Vanover, Bam Morris, some of these guys. There's all kinds of bad stuff going on. They're bringing it up through Texas. They're selling it here, and they're selling it to junior high kids. And he started to give me this information, and we started to put these stories together. The FBI wanted people in Kansas City to know that they were doing their job and busting these people that were dealing drugs to junior high kids. It just so happened some Chiefs players were involved. That's when Bam Morris got popped with all the drugs in his trunk, coming home from Texas, all this other stuff. It's what the FBI does. And I'm not saying that's bad. When they're doing the real work, the public should know. It should be news. They leak to people in the media all the time, all the time. The problem with the people in D.C. is they leak fake stuff to try to win a political argument. They leak the Russia hoax. They leak the Ukraine call. They leak all this Mueller stuff. They leak a sham impeachment trial. They leak all this stuff. They go public with it, and they just figure this is going to help us win elections. It doesn't really matter if we prosecute him. Well, this time it's different. Because there is not an American that I know that doesn't value the security and sanctity of their own home. Whether you live in a mansion in Beverly Hills or you live in a pup tent under a bridge in downtown Kansas City, you value your space. You want a security and comfort around you when you sleep at night. From the poorest of us to the richest of us, we all understand that. That's a human instinct. That doesn't change by political party. The Democrats violated that in a massive way. It looks like they have really blown this one. Really blown this one. Again, I can't say. I don't know what's in the 15 boxes. They may have something, but I got a bounce in my step on this Friday because I was worried all week. I think you probably heard it in my tone. I'm like, this quiet Trump is not normal. This silent Trump is not normal. Now, I don't think he should go do interviews. It serves no purpose. He's not running in a campaign right now. Don't do interviews. Don't go on Fox News. You never know. You start freewheeling and ad-libbing what you may say that could come back to haunt you. Keep putting your statements out on Truth Social and nowhere else. Have your lawyers help you write it. Make sure it's approved. This is still a thing. Don't go doing interviews. As much fun it was to be to hear him go all bombastic and rip on these people, don't do it. Just put your statements out. But he fought back in a massive way here with this commentary at Truth Social. It's great. I mean, the affidavit is what we want to see. And apparently, Trump is saying, let that go. The affidavit is what allowed Reinhold, the judge, the magistrate, to approve the raid, which he did. And then when the Department of Justice said, hey, we want to unseal these documents, whatever, the judge threw it back on the DOJ and said, let me know what Trump says. I'm not deciding this. The judge is like, so they're all cornered off now. Like, whoa, where was the FBI yesterday? Nowhere to be found. Where was Biden? On vacation. What did the judge do? I'm kicking this back to you, Merrick Garland. Boy, Garland is right in the spotlight of this thing. I'm going to guess that he's the one who goes down. I'm going to guess that there becomes so much pressure that the Biden administration will have to do something about him as the attorney general. He'll be the fall guy. It will make it look like he overreached. You know this all came from the White House. You know it came from Ron Klain, the chief of staff, all the Obama people, everybody running this thing. Go bust into his house. Then you get Stephen Colbert doing his CBS show where he's dancing and laughing and we finally got him and he's going to be in cuffs and we're going to do all this stuff. Uh-oh, Trump got you again. I mean, it just looks horrible for the Department of Justice, the FBI, the Biden administration, and everyone in Washington, D.C. If they had something, there would have been a team of people out there with Merrick Garland. They sent this guy out there alone. Do you have any times Ray and Garland have appeared together at news conferences? Multiple. Google it. There's pictures everywhere. Oh, not yesterday. No, it was just Merrick Garland. And now the people in the media, their talking point is very, very simple. They are changing the narrative of Trump did something wrong and is going to be indicted and not be able to run for president. Have you noticed this? What is their story on the left now? Their story on the left now is neo-Nazis and Proud Boys and Trump supporters, ultra MAGA, are threatening Garland and Ray and the FBI and all this other stuff. And there's death threats and hate all over the internet. They're changing the story. They're changing the story away from Trump. It feels like they know their beat, that they've got nothing, that there was a trap set. I'm telling you, the second I heard, they cracked a safe that was brand new and had nothing in it, not one thing. The only thing would have been funnier if there was a post-it note that said, gotcha. Just put a little post-it note on the side of the safe, said, gotcha. That would have been even funnier, but there was nothing in the safe. I mean, you're kidding me, right? Is that the way this thing's just going to end? This is just going to go away in a week or two? That's that? We're no longer pursuing the documents. We've turned them over to the National Archives, and that's that? Oh, my God. That was some day. For Donald John Trump, really, truly was. KKHI is so proud to be affiliated with 360 Document Solutions. My friend Mark over at 360 wants to help your business be a better business. It is not any more complicated than that, and he can do it. Nobody knows this industry better than Mark. He's been doing it for decades, and he loves doing it. In fact, he loves it so much, he sold his first company and couldn't do what he loves to do for several years. Then he came back, started it up again, and wound up competing against the people that bought his old company and crushing him. This dude loves to work, and he wants to go to work for you. Anywhere in Western Missouri, the entire state of Kansas, 360 Document Solutions can help you with anything that runs your office, whether it's IT solutions, mail systems, phones, copiers, printers, anything you print, any document, you know, like the 15 boxes of documents, he can help you print those, organize those, do everything with those in a better way. For a complimentary analysis, just call Mark at 913-745-5344. Anything to do with office products, office machines, and productivity, 360documentsolutions.com. The Finch Knife Company, online at finchknifeco.com. If you're a dealer and you are a retailer and you would like to stock these knives, just go to finchknifeco.com and contact Spencer and Steve and say, hey, we want to put these in. We've got a lot of podcast listeners around the country as well. If you live outside of Kansas City, awesome. And you have a retail store or no, or have a friend that has one, sporting goods, gun store, hunting, fishing, anything like that, get a hold of Finch Knives. You want these knives in your store. People will gobble them up. They are absolutely gorgeous. Of course, you can buy them online, finchknifeco.com. In Kansas City, you can keep life from getting dull by visiting Shields, the Bullet Hole, or Teague Tractor in Belton. Back 9 Development, online at back, the numeral 9, development.com. If you want to build it, Back 9 Development can help you make it happen. They do all kinds of incredible projects, like multi-million dollar custom homes, commercial properties, condominium projects, room additions. The Solheim at Grand Mere is their condominium project in Manhattan. Their second building of condos is now open and available for sale. If you want to check those out, a great investment property. There's a pool, workout facility, covered parking, back9development.com. And my buddy Mike Robinson over at Roberts Robinson Chevrolet Buick GMC. I saw a story today. When I got my Chevy Blazer, I think I've told this story. When I got my Chevy Blazer, and I love my Chevy Blazer, I got it. I was looking originally at the GMC Canyon, the midsize truck. I don't want the big truck. I want the midsize truck. They don't offer sunroofs, or didn't. I saw a story today. They've unveiled the 2023 line of the all-new GMC Canyon, which is the sister or big brother, maybe we should say, of the Chevy Colorado. They'll both be available at Roberts Robinson. You can order them now if you're looking for one. The new GMC Canyon is going to be spectacular. They have an AT4 version, a limited edition that looks great. They have a Denali version. I saw the pictures online of the unveiling, and one of them has a roof. Boom. So I may be switching next year at some point. As much as I love my Blazer, and we just drove it 1,500 miles last week on a round-trip thing, it is an awesome vehicle. I mean, just incredible. I've always wanted a mid-size truck. And now it looks like the GMC Canyon is going to come with the Denali version, the wood dash, the upgraded leather. It looks just, they're going really upscale with the Canyons, and I'm pretty excited about that. Roberts Robinson's going to hook you up is my point. Give them a call and say, I want to build one, or get on the list right now as they start coming off the assembly line early next year. You're in with robertsrobinson.com. Good stuff. I got an email from Congresswoman Charisse Davids. Oh, is it okay to call her Congresswoman? I got to be careful. What would you say? Representative Charisse Davids. I think she's she, her, isn't she? I think she's she, her. So I got an email from Congresswoman Charisse Davids. And it says, do you support her voting yes for the $800 billion crap bill that they're ramming through? And then there's a bunch of questions that go with it. And I was going to fill the survey out, but I didn't. It was taking too much time before the podcast, and I do not like to waste your time. You want the podcast shortly after 9 o'clock every day? I am up early and ready to provide that for you. It's important. So I'll deal with Charisse David's email later. But it just occurred to me, this is really a nice thing that she does. They send it out. What do you think? How should I vote? It doesn't matter. She's going to vote yes. This is the dumbest thing ever. Like, she could get 5,000 returns on this email and 5,000 people saying, vote no, vote no, vote no, and she'd vote yes. So I don't really know why you go about doing it. I think it, to me, it felt more like, oh, there's a campaign ad. But it was interactive, and it had a bunch of questions, and it said, feel free to type whatever you want right here about what I can do better. Boy, it feels like an election year when you start getting those in your inbox, doesn't it? Bye-bye, Charisse. Amanda Atkins is taking you down. We have redistricted District 3 in Kansas, and you are in deep, deep trouble. Bye-bye. See ya. Wall Street Journal today, this is classic. Yesterday, I think. Wall Street Journal story, the headline, your 2-week quick start to get your kids off screens and school ready. School starting. I'm not even questioning this story. I think it's accurate. I think it's pathetic, but I think it's okay. It's accurate for a lot of parents. They're going to want to read that story. That is newsworthy content. For a lot of parents, they're going to want to read, how do I wean my kids off their screens from all summer and get them back to be school ready? It's legit. Here's your 2-week quick start. And basically it goes through each day. You know, you wean them a little bit more with this, you wean them off this, you do that. It's how to get your kids off their screens and ready to go back in school and pay attention with something other than an iPhone in their hand or a video game controller. So what's interesting to me about this story is not that this isn't where we live today and how we live, and this is a real thing for parents. It's, I remember my mom and then me with my kids toward the end of summer doing what? What did we do with the kids at the end of summer? And we're a couple of weeks out from school starting. Most places are starting sooner than 2 weeks now, but when you're getting close to going back to school, what did we have to do with our kids? We brought them back in. We got them inside. We're like, no, you've been outside all summer. You've been playing sports. You've been running around. You've been very active. We got to get you back inside and calm you down a little bit before we send you to school. Because you've been going nuts. You've been riding your bicycle everywhere. You've been playing baseball with your friends every single day. You've been hanging out under the bridge on Johnson Drive in the creek down there in Mission, up to no good. You've been at the swimming pool, you know, hanging out with girls. We got to stop this. We got to slow you down. Get back inside. Let's go shopping. Get your school clothes. Let's get your supplies. Let's get you organized. Let's talk about all this stuff. Let's get you in the air conditioning. What are your classes going to be? Who's your teacher? Let's go to back to school day. It was unbelievable. We tried to calm kids down. This is remarkable. This is one generation, my children. I tried to calm them down from being so active and so hyper and so wild all summer. Tried to calm them down and get them back to school. And now we have to wake them up. We got to wake you up from the zombie land that is your screen. You got to snap out of this. We got to get you out of your trance, get off that screen, get to school, make eye contact with another human being. It's called your teacher. Look at a human being in the eye and listen and learn. Oh my God, what a terrible concept for a kid that's been on vacation for 3 months. Woo, I can't put my screen down or turn this off. We had a lot of kids use their phones at Uvalde and call out and text and cries for help. But I really wonder if there isn't a better way to educate our kids than to allow them to have their phones all day. Maybe it should be something that's earned at school. That seems reasonable to me. How about you make it goal-driven? If you raise your grade, not saying you have to make an A, because not all students are always capable of making A's. If you increase, you know, you take them away for 2 weeks. If you increase your percentage by such amount, you get your phone back at school. The teachers' union would never, there's so many people that would stop something like that. But that sounds fantastic to me. It's no different than sports. This is the way I was taught. If you work harder and play better, we'll let you start. Right now, you're a sophomore starting for the JV, but you're riding the bench on the varsity baseball team, which was my lot in life at age 15. And I wanted to start. I thought I was better than the other guy. I was doing really well on the JV, starting and playing all those games, and just sitting there riding the bench on the varsity. Keep working. Eventually, I got into some games. Now I'm playing against guys that are 3 years older than me in some cases. This was school, and I earned it. How about if we make them earn their phones at school? I don't know. Does that sound completely and utterly logical? Therefore, we can't have it? That's what it sounds like to me. It is logical if you'd like to remodel your home that you call Tim Cross over at Cross Kitchens. I believe with all my heart, smaller is better. A smaller remodeler for your kitchen is better. Somebody who owns their own shop, you're going to be dealing with the owner and not some giant mega company. And there's plenty of those around Kansas City where you can deal with a manager who may quit and move to another company right in the middle of your project. You know what Tim Cross isn't going to do? He's not going to quit. He owns the company and he's going to work directly with you. That's fantastic. Tim says most of their kitchen remodels are done in 2 weeks or less. That's something else. You want to know that all the ducks are in a row when the project starts so your life isn't turned upside down for a long period of time. Log on to crosskitchenskc.com or call Tim over at 816-898-7047. When you call him or meet him, tell him you heard he looks a little bit like Luke Bryan. That's it. That's all I'm going to say. The singer, a little bit like Luke Bryan. Amazing Garage Floors online at amazinggaragefloors.net. Proud supporters of Red, White, and Bluma. Happening September 24th in Stillwell. Tickets are available at redwhiteandbluma.org. It's a fun night of music and fun and military and America. And gosh, it's just an awesome blowout. It's at Stonegate Motor Plaza. They've raised over $250,000 for military charities in our area. Jamie Bluma, the former Royal, obviously is the man who puts this together, Red, White, and Bluma. But Amazing Garage Floors is a title sponsor of this. And John Hutchins is a great American patriot. And he has a place at Stonegate Motor Plaza. It's really cool. People keep their cars there and stuff. It's a really great and unique area in Stillwell. So if you'd like to go, log on to redwhiteandbluma.org and check it out. And thanks to our friends at Amazing Garage Floors for being sponsors of that. And, of course, Marion Body Shop. Man, I tell you, I get more emails about Marion Body Shop than or people texting or whatever than I think any other sponsor. I don't know how many of you are going there, but it's a huge number because none of us know where to go. You know, you get in a fender bender, where do we go? Who can we trust? This is easy. You can trust Marion Body Shop. If you want to get your car detailed, they do that too. Their side business there is called the New Car Image, but they'll polish up your car and put an unbelievable, you know, ceramic coating on it that's better than factory new. They're really great business. MariamBodyShop.com. On to sports. The Kansas City Chiefs play the Chicago Bears on Saturday. Afternoon game. Won't get a big TV rating, I don't think. But it's always fun to see the Chiefs back on the field. Patrick Mahomes will play at least a series. Andy Reid has said four quarterbacks, four quarters. Well, that isn't really what he does. Usually it's this. Usually it's Mahomes for a series. If it's three and out or they fumble or something like that, he may come back on the field. Then it's Henny the rest of the way in the first half. So the backup usually gets a little more time in the preseason. There's a good reason, very good reason for that. And you want your second-best quarterback playing with some of your young players like Sky Moore out there. You want Sky Moore to play a lot, see what it's like. He's probably going to work more with Henny than Mahomes. Mahomes says, I like to get hit one time. So if they go three plays where he doesn't get hit, maybe he talks Andy in another series. We'll see. Four quarterbacks, four quarters doesn't really work. They'll bring the number three quarterback out in the third quarter, and he usually goes into the fourth quarter, and then the guy that's not going to make the team winds up with the last series or two. I will watch. I'm interested to see what they look like. The reason that you play Patrick Mahomes, because a lot of people think he shouldn't be on the field at all, and there's plenty of quarterbacks in the league now that don't play in preseason games. The reason Andy Reid wants to do this is he's got a quarterback that's competitive that wants to get on the field, one. A quarterback who says publicly, I want to get hit once, because I don't want to go out there in the season opener and not remember what it's like to get hit. It's been months since he's been hit. I want to get hit once. That's fine. He may not get hit in this game, but he will at some point in the preseason. But mostly this is about things that fans don't really care about much, and for good reason. The best term probably is logistics. It is communication between the head coach, the coordinator, the quarterback, the play calling in the huddle. Does the equipment work right? What have they changed this year? The equipment's never the same as last year. It fits different in my helmet. The microphones are different. There's a new company maybe that sponsors the headsets. So therefore, the equipment's different. Everything changes year to year in some small way. So the logistics of calling plays and executing plays is something you don't want to wait until opening day to do. Go on and get out there against a real opponent in a stadium and do it. It sounds silly. Mahomes has been playing for quite a while now, but it's real, and I'm all for it. Totally for it. I'm also totally for the Royals to continue winning. Pasquantino, another home run. Royals win 3 out of 4 from the White Sox after winning 3 out of 4 from the Red Sox. The Royals are officially hot. They're scoring runs. They're fun to watch. The kids are bouncing around out there having the time of their life. And we'll hear from Danny Klinkscale in a moment. He was on our Patreon podcast yesterday. He said yesterday the Royals are, I did not know this, this was before they won, so now they would be, the Royals in their last 53 games are 28-25. Can you believe that? Can you believe they wrecked and blew this entire season in the first few weeks? They absolutely did. They completely wrecked it because 28-25, if that's right, it's what he said. If that's correct, that's division winnable. This division's no good. Cleveland's in first place. What are they, six games over? I mean, if the Royals were three games over right now, they'd be like a game and a half back. It's ridiculous. It's remarkable how bad the division is. And the Royals couldn't take advantage of that because they blew their season early. They absolutely blew their season early. They're starting to get better pitching. Brady Singer's had some great outings. Greinke was good on Thursday. The Royals beat the White Sox again. Now, the Dodgers are coming. And I'll take anything other than a sweep. The Dodgers are so good, and the Royals are such incredible underdogs in all three games. I'll take one win in this series, and then that's a good homestand. If they go and bust that out, that's a 7-4 homestand. Is that right? They're 6-2 right now. 7-4 homestand's fine. You got to get one against the Dodgers. If you want to make progress as the Royals, with young players and whatever, find a way to win a game this weekend. Because this isn't the Red Sox or the White Sox. It's the Dodgers. And they're sick good. Really, really good. So we'll be watching for that this weekend. I mentioned Danny Klinkscale. He was on our patron podcast on Thursday. For patrons of KKHI, he's going to join us every Thursday throughout football season. But we talk about all kinds of sports topics. We call it Between the Lines 2.0. We did Between the Lines together for many, many years. And it's fun having Danny on. We have a good professional camaraderie on air, I think, when we do this. He's a really nice man, a kind man. I like Danny a lot. We've been friends for a long, long time, and it's fun to do it. We used to be on Tuesdays. We moved it to Thursdays because he has a new TV show he's doing. It's streamed on something called UClick TV. They've got a studio down at the Hy-Vee Arena, which is the old Kemper Arena, and he has sports guests on, and it's live Monday through Wednesday from 11 to 1. So that's usually when we recorded his segments, and it doesn't, obviously can't do it on Tuesdays because he's doing this new TV show. But I love talking sports. Yesterday we were all over the Royals, all over the Chiefs-Bears preview. We do things like that. They're a little more sportsy and in-depth, more like sports radio than what this podcast. The patron podcasts are different. They're designed to be different. They just are different. And so Danny was on, and we did that. We also talked about the PGA Tour and LIV Golf and some of these other things. So we really have a good time doing this. We started with the conversation of me asking Danny about this new show. It is a podcast. The best way to say it is it's a podcast. You don't have to watch it. You can put it up on your browser or phone and just listen to it. It works as audio only, but he's doing it Monday through Wednesday on UClick TV. And here's Danny at the start of the Patreon podcast yesterday describing exactly what it is that he does.
I'm doing well. You know, you try different things, and it's a world that's evolving. And so I had the opportunity through UClick TV, which is a streaming television service. You can do it through Roku. You can, you know, we broadcast on Facebook Live and Twitter Live. And if you just follow my social media, you'll be there. But there's a page easily found at UClick TV. And I'm on from 11 to 1 on Monday through Wednesday. And we've had great guests so far. And it's, you know, you got me, so that's the prescription, me and great guests. So if, you know, I do something occasionally called Story Time with Danny, which are things from the past that have occurred to me that maybe you've heard or maybe you haven't. So anyway, it's a fun thing to do. We'll see how it goes. We've had a great response early on, but you always need to grow everything. So if you've got an alternative, if you want an alternative in the midday, which I think is kind of badly needed right now as far as the landscape of sports conversation, it's basically, it's a sports show, plain and simple. My podcasts obviously are a little bit more diverse than that, and I'm not going to stop doing the podcast. All it means is more work, Kev. That's basically what it means, but it's good work. It's fun work. I enjoy it. I'm not a television person, even though I was raised in the medium. My dad kind of always wondered why I didn't do TV, and I think you'll understand this. When I was coming of age, first of all, I really just wanted to be a play-by-play announcer, And secondly, if I was going to do sports, what you did in TV sports then was just do 3 or 4 minutes on the news. And I had zero interest in doing that.
Yeah, I don't think Danny would have ever been interested in doing the old 3-minute sports cast on TV. Not enough time. And, you know, I did that for 12 years, and it was like wearing handcuffs. I had so much more to say. And then I finally got into sports radio, which was great. So check Danny out on UClick TV. You don't have to watch Monday through Wednesday, 11 to 1. It's up there. You can watch it or listen to it at any time. But he's a good guy, and he's had great guests on, and you may enjoy it. I want to share that with you and appreciate the work that Danny does with our patron podcasts. Okay, let's do a couple things that are really, really fun. Antonio Brown is just I don't know what you say about the guy. He's just a remarkable personality in sports. He's burned more bridges and been in more trouble and done whatever. But he's now put on Twitter the biggest regret of his career. This is too good to not share with you, and I'll read it for you because it's just fantastic. Antonio Brown on his biggest regret, quote, "My biggest regret in my career doesn't involve calling my general manager a cracker or showing up to Raiders camp late in a hot air balloon with frozen feet or even throwing rocks at the UPS driver. And it definitely doesn't involve taking my shirt off and doing a victory lap around the Jet Stadium mid-game while throwing up deuces. My biggest regret is that I'll never get to see me, Antonio Brown, play a game live. Sure, I can watch a game afterwards, but I can't imagine what it was like for all of you to see something like me playing live. Like watching the Beatles or Jesus perform at Red Rocks." I love sports. I love sports personalities. I don't really like that guy. There's not a lot of redeeming qualities that I can tell with him as a teammate or a person or a friend or whatever, but that's fantastic. That is a fantastic tweet on the regret of your career. So I'm completely and utterly supportive of Antonio Brown saying, "Boy, I got ripped off, man. When I was out there playing, I didn't get to sit in the stands and watch me." Not sure I've ever heard that. And if anybody were ever going to say that, wouldn't that be Tiger Woods or Tom Brady, like in our lifetime? You know, the shame is I couldn't just sit there in the gallery at Augusta and watch me hit that chip shot and it rolls on the edge and trickles in the cup. And I just didn't get to sit in the gallery and watch that. Fabulous stuff. On to emails. First and foremost, thank you for everyone that emailed about Thursday's podcast, about 100 years of WHB. It was fantastic. So many of you were touched by or enjoyed my comments about the founding of the radio station, how we built it into what it once was. And a lot of you were commenting that, hey, I didn't get invited to this celebration, whatever. It doesn't matter. I put a picture on Twitter yesterday. Jessica and I went to the pool yesterday afternoon. I got done with some work, cut the grass. I'm hot. I'm going to go jump in. Let's go jump in the pool. We did, and we took a picture and go, well, this is the way you celebrate 100 years of WHB. I mean, that's better. I used to be in there grinding, doing 4 hours of radio every day for 23 years, every afternoon, getting home from work late. And now I work early and love it. I always wanted to work early. I always said I could do a morning show. I always like working early. And you know what? It's August and the pool's open and it's 4 o'clock and we're done and I'm going to the pool. This is great. So we put on Twitter that that's the way we celebrated. Happy birthday. Happy 100 years to WHB, but mostly thank you for all your supportive emails. It's very meaningful. I do respond to them, and I don't go into my junk emails often enough, but I did this a few days ago and found 3 or 4 of you in there that I hadn't responded to in a week or two, and I apologize. If I'm really, really long getting back to you, it's because it probably went to my junk and I had to find it there. So, but I try my very best to get back to everyone that sends an email. So I got a tasty email yesterday from Andy. Andy sends this in about the Zambezi Zinger. We were talking about the new Zambezi Zinger coming to Worlds of Fun next year. And he sends it, and it's got 3 links. And one of them is a YouTube video. I'm like, okay. I mean, this thing's been closed for a long time. I like a YouTube video of the Zambezi Zinger. I got to see this. And so it's these young kids, and they got their iPhones, and they're in the Zambezi Zinger, and it pulls out, and it goes up the little circular climb the ramps all the way to the top. And then there it goes. And I'm watching, I'm like, my God, this is the Zambezi Zinger. It's the exact same ride. It goes through the trees. The trees are different. They look different than Worlds of Fun. This doesn't look right. This is not the Zambezi Zinger, but it is the Zambezi Zinger. He writes in his email that Cedar Fair sold it to a theme park in Colombia, South America, where it exists today. They tore it down piece by piece. They shipped it to South America. They rebuilt her at a theme park there, and she runs today. Cedar Fair said they closed the original Zambezi Zinger for one simple reason. It was too expensive to maintain. Translation, it had gotten older. They were constantly closing it, checking it, repairing it, whatever. I guess the standards may be a little lower in Colombia, South America, where they buy used roller coasters and put them back together. Now, you think there's a sign right there in Colombia, right where you're in line, said, dangerous for pregnant women, don't if you have a heart problem. And, oh, this is a used roller coaster that the other park deemed too expensive to maintain. Too expensive to maintain, to me, sounds like it was just too dangerous. All right, it's a sickly dangerous ride still to this day. Now, the new one has padded sides, which is different, the little arm rail things, and they have seatbelts. But they're just this kind of seatbelt you wear on an airplane. So and they may have had seatbelts at the end at Worlds of Fun. They probably did. I tell you what, in the beginning they didn't. There were no seatbelt in that thing. You just sat in there and held on. It still has one turn. And on this video, the person shooting the video has a girl in front of him, and she's got her arms up. And at one point, he reaches up and grabs her arm and says, get it back in the car. And they go around this turn, and you could easily stick your hand out and just have your hand ripped off, hitting some of the metal structures of the roller coaster. I forgot how roller coasters have changed, really. So the old Zambezi Zinger didn't have the seatbelt and didn't have the pads for your arms. You just bumped around on metal when it was going, and you just kind of held on for dear life. Or you could just jump out. I remember a long time ago, somebody stood up on the Timberwolf, didn't they? Somehow at Worlds of Fun and died? I mean, you can fool around on a roller coaster and get in real trouble. They don't allow it now. They brace you in, and there's nothing you can do. You're basically trapped for the ride, which I don't like. That always feels a little weird to me to just be trapped in there. Like, what if I get stuck? What's happening here? So that was fantastic to see the video and to know that it's still alive, even in Columbia, South Carolina. Then I got the email that topped this one concerning the Zambezi Zinger. And this one was very simple. The Zambezi Zinger can be remembered for only one thing. And that is, it was the greatest first date ever. And I stopped and I thought about that, and I started remembering being in high school and going there with boys and girls, and a girl you kind of liked that you weren't really dating or whatever, your friends, and you would get in those cars, and it would be boy, girl, boy, girl, boy, girl in those cars. And you got in the Zambezi Zinger car, and I'm the guy, so my back's against the back of the car, and there are no seats. It's just a bench. So what do? You spread out your knees, and here comes the girl, and she's going to sit right in front of you, and you got to just kind of put your arms around her. He's right. I forgot that. It's the little things in life. The Zambezi Zinger, the original one, is the greatest first date icebreaker in the history of anything. It's better than a car. You have no choice. You're just right there together. It's not like going to a movie. If you're in the movie, she's sitting next to you and there's an armrest between you. No. The Zambezi Zinger. How did I forget that? Thank you so much. The greatest emailers in the world. Dude sent me yesterday a video of a guy on TikTok, and I wish I could play this for you. It's too long, but Eric Schmidt in July sent a letter to Merrick Garland because Merrick Garland's been in the news. So he sent this thing to Merrick Garland about the feds coming to Missouri wanting to go to sheriff's departments, the FBI, walking into sheriff's departments and wanting to know everyone in the county that has a concealed weapon permit. And they specifically passed in a law in Missouri that says the feds have no jurisdiction over that. And so he sent this scathing letter to Merrick Garland. You know, you suck. This is overreach. You're not doing this, and we will fight you in Missouri. And this guy on TikTok goes, here's how you do it. And he does this intro. And then they show the letter on the screen, and they hired a professional voice guy to read the letter in a perfect tone with every single word that was written off to Merrick Garland. And it was so great. Man, you guys are the greatest emailers ever. Stuff you send me, just phenomenal. Thank you so much. It was a great day of emails on Thursday. Also, I have to thank our friends at Advanced Medical Imaging for being part of the podcast, online at medimageks.com. If you need an MRI or a CT scan, why wait 3 weeks at an outside, expensive, time-consuming hospital chain? Go independent, online at medimageks.com. And don't forget to schedule your heart scan. This is not insurance-related. The heart scan is not. It's out-of-pocket, but it's under $100. You can get your plaque score on your heart and learn an awful lot about the organs in your body for very, very little money. This should be as simple as a routine checkup. You ought to be able to go do this with your insurance. But they don't. It's almost like healthcare. It's almost, there's a scam going on. They don't want you to know. Like, they want a certain number of people to get sick and just get out of the system or something. It's awful. Do this heart scan. MedimageKS.com. And this weekend's a great time to get out to B-Stock. They've got all kinds of new TVs. They got a shipment of LGs, a massive shipment of new LG TVs. Every single size, every single model. You can't believe how they're discounting them. They have way too many, because they buy in bulk, and the stuff comes. When they're available, and they get them all. They got to sell them. And 258 different models of laptops in stock right now. Online at bstock.net or visit 14680 South Flaming Road in Olathe. It's the old Toys R Us building. You're going to enjoy your time there with those folks at bstock.net. Thank you for hitting the like and follow button. We ask you every day to find someone this weekend and tell them about the podcast. Maybe they'll hit the like or follow button. We're growing quite a following. We're getting under people's skin. I'm getting blackballed by other media in Kansas City, and I love it. 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 Let's be the outsiders. Let's be the instigators, the rebel rousers, the troublemakers. I'm all in on that. I'm your guy for that sort of thing. So let's do it together at Kevin Keatsman Has Issues.
Thanks for listening to Kevin Keatsman Has Issues, presented by Roberts Robinson Chevrolet Buick GMC. To get exclusive patrons-only podcasts, receive a weekly newsletter, and attend in-person patrons-only parties, visit kkhasissues.com and become a patron today. This has been a production of Crooked Tail Media Incorporated.